snazzy, but let me tell you a story. I don't have a printer, so it's not really that snazzy. And to do all my printing, I have to go to Officeworks. My husband said to me about a year, 2 years ago, "Hun, we've got to get a printer." I said, "We don't need one. I'm always trying to get rid of stuff." But you know how many times I've needed a printer? I need a printer. So this might look like I'm bringing some snazzy contraption out, but I just didn't go to Officeworks. All right? So I'm not trying to pump myself up with material things. Before I start this morning, I just really want to acknowledge something terrible that did happen in Sydney yesterday, which is where I'm from, where I was born. And the one thing that I noticed governmentally, that every person that got on that screen last night, they all said our thoughts are with those that have lost someone. And they used to say prayers. Claudio brought that to my attention. He said, "Where's the thoughts and prayers that we used to hear?" So, Lord, we lift up in prayer all of the people today, Lord, that are crying and suffering and in pain, Lord God, for what happened yesterday in Sydney, Lord. We lift them up to you, Jesus. We ask that you turn this terrible situation into something beautiful in each and every life, Lord. We ask that we use it for your glory and your purposes, Lord, to lead those that are not walking with you to walk with you, Jesus. Use it, Lord. And Lord, we continue to uphold prayer, not just our thoughts, Lord, but our prayers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to say good morning to you, beloved. Beloved of the Most High God. That is who you are. And I can't believe that little old wretched me gets to speak to royalty this morning. You are his children. And here I am allowed to speak to his children. Thank you, Lord. I don't take this lightly when Tim asks me. I do not take this lightly. I take this very seriously because your life and your walk with the Lord means more to the Lord than anything. And if I say the wrong thing to you, I will be in big trouble. And I don't want you to get into trouble from what I say to you. Also, before I get into today's message, through the worship, the Lord reminded me of something, and it's a testimony that I need to share with you, because if you have loved ones that have once given their heart to the Lord but have turned away, or they've given their heart to the Lord and then really lost interest, I want to give you this encouragement today that the Lord has not forgotten them. He is a gentleman, but believe me, he is a gentleman that chases you. He chases us. And this testimony will prove that. Okay, 30 years ago, we're talking a long time ago. I was 15 years old. And at the time, I was a wedding singer. Okay, I would go from wedding to wedding singing. People would say, "I want you to sing at my wedding." And I'd be like, "Yeah, I'll do it. And I sung at this one wedding reception, and at the end of it, a lady came up to me and she said, "Look, Danielle, at our church, we have this end of year Christmas carol event, and we'd love you to sing at our Christmas carol event of our church." And I'm like, "Oh, that sounds a bit weird. Now, this lady did not ask me, "Are you a Christian? Do you walk with God? Do you read your word? Are you on fire?" But she saw something in me that all of you have. She saw something. And she said to me, "Okay, can you please sing in this thing?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." So I went to the rehearsals. It came to the evening, and here I am singing the finale, and I'm all the way at the front. And now I ponder on the conversations I was having with the worship team in the back. Before we got on, there were a few girls in that worship team who might have been a little bit envious, let's just say, because I got the main role. And they said to me, "Do you go to church?" I said, "Nah, Christmas, Easter, maybe." They said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Oh, I'm a Catholic. Like, I kind of believe in him." And that was it. And these girls, the look on their faces was like, "How can you be here?" But look at me 30 years later. Don't judge what the Lord is doing, okay? Because he might have his finger on someone and then someone godly might be trying to pull that walk away from that person. Anyway, a week after this event, they invited my mum and I to the church for a Sunday night service, like us, like we have here. Now, we come from Catholic background at that point, okay? We walk in this church and it is a majorly charismatic church. Like, I'm talking major. And I was like, what is this? We're sitting up the back. My brother is mocking the whole service. Look at that idiot. Look at that one. Look at that one. But there was something in my mum that said to me at the end of that, Danielle, I've got to go to the front. I've got to go. They did an altar call. I'm like, Mum, it's embarrassing. I'm not going. She's like, we've got to go. We've got to go. We've got to go. I said, all right then. So she grabbed my hand. We ran to the front, but I did it for her. You know, I said the prayer. My mum fully gave her heart to the Lord, like meant it. And I like, you know what, Lord, I'm doing this because I'm just kind of supporting my mum, you know. There was something tapping at me, but it wasn't a real conversion, if you know what I mean. And I want to share that with you because you know people in your world and in your family who kind of did it. And you're thinking, Lord, did they really give their heart to you? I'm telling you, he's chasing them. Okay, after that night, no one discipled my mum and I. So we didn't get a phone call. We didn't get a text. So for those of you that are discipling people right now, I applaud you. You don't know how amazing the work that you're doing in someone's life by taking them through that process, that sanctification, that follow you up, that love talk. So mum and I didn't get that, okay? So for the next 4 years, we just went back into our lives, back into the world, kind of got swayed here and there, and that's when I hit rock bottom. But throughout that 4 years, the Lord had been chasing me because I went to the front. I said a prayer to him. So it's not like I denied him with my mouth. I did accept him, but I didn't fully give over my heart. Then 4 years later, like I said, my world changed because I hit the bottom and he raised me up and I experienced his spirit for the very first time. Long story short, my mum, my brother and myself, we all walk with the Lord now. We love him. The three of us are passionate. We serve him. We go to church. And now we're going to pray for Dad, aren't we, Mum? He's the last one. He has to come to the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'll get into the message now, okay? I just really wanted to share that with you. So today's message comes from a scripture that I'm pretty good at, okay? Do I sound really confident here? Really arrogant at the moment? Pretty good at it. And if God gave an award to everyone who's like been good at this, I'd have a few of them. I'll give you the scripture, ready? It's from Romans 7. 15 to 25. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's not longer I who do it, but is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched woman I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? Here's the good beat. Are you ready? This is the good news of this. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the deliverer. Why is it so easy to do the wrong things, but it's so hard to do the right things? You're not alone in this, okay? Every single human being on the face of this earth, from the past, present, and the future, will go through this. Paul went through this. But the good news is that God gave us his son to deliver us from the bondage and the misery we ourselves get entangled with. We have to learn to live by the spirit and not the flesh, not the mind. Far out, that is the battlefield of the mind, the enemy. That's where he comes, speaks up there all the time, the will or the emotions. Our foundation for everything we do must come from the Lord. We need to pray and never cease. And I love today because God is just intertwining this message that he's bringing through my voice with every single thing that we've heard today. It's every minute of every day. And I love when Tim sings it. Every hour of every day, oh, I need you, Lord, and that will never change. Every moment in every way, oh, I need you, Lord. And that will never change. That will never change. That will never change. We have to live by the Spirit. Pray and never cease. Ask the Lord for his wisdom in everything that you do, every decision you make. You know, it can start very, very small where you think, oh, gosh, I feel like I sound like a maniac. But ask the Lord, Lord, what should I eat today for lunch? What should I have? What should I put into this temple? Into this body, the chips or the chicken and salad? If you eat the chips consistently, that is not good for your temple. Believe me. We are all tempted to take the easy way out of this. It's so easy to gratify our flesh and it's easy to gratify our emotions. But when it comes to the spirit, there's a bit of work involved because we're in a battle, beloved. We're in a battle. But remember, you are on the winning team. And Jesus said that you are more than a conqueror through him and his love for you. You're more than a conqueror. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So if you're going through something at that moment and you're like, Lord, I don't know how to let this go. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. Believe me, he will give you the strategies. He will give you the tools. Sometimes we just got to keep asking and keep seeking him and keep praying before we hear the answer. All right, the body and the soul are from this realm. You know, you were made up of three different types of, what do you call them? Tim? You're triune. Spirit, soul, and body. That's what you are. It's in 1 Thessalonians, if you don't believe me, 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the body and the soul feel comfortable in this realm, okay? Our body and our soul, they feel quite comfortable here. The spirit is from the other realm. It's from the heavens. You know, they say, we're going home. We're going home. Where's home for us? It's up there in the heavens. In the book of Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our spirit belongs with the Lord. Our spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where we're from. That's why we're always saying, I want to go home. There's that yearning in each and every one of us. All right, I'm going to give you this little analogy, okay, about soccer. Who likes soccer here? I know Tim does. I stole this from someone else, okay? This is not mine. But I thought, yeah, that is a great analogy. Okay, so sometimes when teams play, they play at home or they play away, don't they? All right. If you're playing in your own town or country, guess what? The people are going to support you and they're going to be more of you, those supporters, because you're playing in your own territory, okay? So think of your body and your soul. Your body and your soul have got good supporters here. Come on, eat the cake. Have another piece. Have another piece. Watch TV for 4 hours. Yeah. That's your body and your soul. Your spirit says, go to prayer night. That's what he's saying. Read your word. But what does our body and our flesh and our soul do at that moment? We kind of go, I'm tired. I don't know. I'm hungry. Don't we? It's because the body, the soul, and the spirit, they're all one, but the spirit is connected. It's in this special place, but our body and our soul are here. What does the scripture say? That the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there's more spectators here that support the body and the soul than the spirit. The spirit's a little bit outnumbered, all right, so to speak, within us. But when you realize that the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you, when you realize that you're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, when you realize that because of the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary that you are now on the winning side, and you have the victory against all the attacks of the enemy, when you spend time with the Lord, obey his voice, when you fast, when you pray, when you read the word, when you worship him, you become strengthened by the Holy Spirit and his voice will lead you through the waters. He will give you strategies in those moments to overcome and he will deliver you. He will, that's his promise. But, you know, I've said this before, we weren't called to just sit on our couch and do nothing. We were called to move. We were called to walk. We were called to read his word. That's what we're called to do. You know why? Because he wants you blessed. He wants you released. He wants you set free to the highest. There's nothing that he wants to withhold, but you have to put in the work. All right, I'm going to give you a testimony now of the year 2000. This happened for me. So 94 was when I half-heartedly gave my heart to God and then went through a major period of darkness. And then in 98, I finally surrendered and said, Lord, whatever it takes, deliver me from this. Then in the year 2000, so I'd been walking with the Lord for 2 years, right? In the year 2000, my love for him, my passion for him, my time for him, it grew to a place that it was the most amazing place. And I'm sure you've all been there before. I read my word. I'd be in my room for hours. My brother would come home and say, where's Danielle? Oh, she's reading again. Where's Danielle? She's reading again. I used to journal. I had like A4 journals and I would just write on every page so quick, a love letter to God. I love you, Lord. You mean everything to me. Thank you for walking beside me. Thank you for rescuing me, Jesus. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I heard him say, I want you to fast because some things go only through fasting and prayer. You know, there are some things in your life that can go in an instant. I can say, go. And they go, thank you, Lord. You can pray for a week and deal with something. And you know what? By the end of that week, you're like, Lord, I'm released. And that does happen. A brother or sister could pray for you today and you could be fully healed, fully set free. But there are some, and Jesus mentions this in the word, that only go through fasting and prayer. We need to imitate Jesus and be fasting and praying for those deep things. You know those things I'm talking about? Because I'm dealing with a battle right now that I've been dealing with for a very long time. And Lord Jesus, this time, God, and I'm saying it in front of your beloved, you will deliver me 100% from this, God. So back then, I was dealing with this issue and I said, okay, Lord, I am going to fast and I'm going to pray to you. And I committed like 10-week lots. I'm like, okay, Lord, if I commit 10 weeks to you, then at least my flesh kind of felt good that at the end of the 10 weeks I could have a bit of a relief. But you know what happened? By the end of the 10 weeks, because my spirit was so on fire, so connected, Lord, 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 he said, do another one. I said, okay, I'm doing it. Did another 10 weeks, another 10 weeks. And I was in a place I have never experienced before. I was so free. I was free of the things of this world. I was free of those things that were like making me anxious. I was free of those things that I would go to for comfort. It's like I put to death my flesh and my soul. Sometimes you guys have to smack it. You have to smack your flesh, your flesh and your soul, so to speak. It has to come into submission to the word of God, and that means denying your flesh, saying no. And that's what fasting does. You're saying, no, Lord, I will look to you in this moment. I'm going to go and pray. I'm going to go and pray, Lord. I don't have to do this worldly thing. I don't have to eat that. I don't have to drink that. All I need is you, Lord. And I'm telling you, if you do that, because I have been there, you will experience a freedom you have never experienced before. And I want that in a particular thing again, Lord. And I believe he will bring me there. You know, God never, ever leaves you halfway. He always completes what he begins. You just got to say yes and do it. Now, this is generally speaking out there in the world today, okay? This is really not us. It's out there. As a human being, they, we, I, you know, we can relate to the things that we see, yeah? Because I can see you. The things we perceive, the things we understand, the things we touch. Like I can literally touch this. When I have a coffee, I can taste it. When I hear music, I can hear it. When I think of stuff, I'm thinking it in my head. Now, a person close to the Lord, say Tim, comes to me and he says, he talks to me about things that I can't see. Like I literally cannot see it yet, or I cannot fully understand it, or I can't really grasp it. And out there in the world, when we speak to them about the things of the spirit, naturally speaking, they switch off. It's like, what, what? Even though the Lord's pressed them, they switch off. We want to experience the things now. They want experience. People want experience and tangible now, now, now stuff. That's what they want out there in the world. That's how they think. They want instant gratification. They want instant results, no pain. I don't want no pain, but I want all gain. No sacrifice. I don't want to take responsibility for anything, but I expect everything to be handed to me. That's really how the world thinks. And it's kind of like this as well. Pretend you get an offer to start working in this amazing company, right? And if you do 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the end of the week, you're going to get $1,500 in your hand, let's say. Now, if I told you that, you'd think, you know what? I'm not going to do 10 hours. I'm going to do 20. Why? Because you know you're going to get more, right? That's the world. That's the world. We do, we get. We do, we get. You know, if you got $2,000 a week in your hand, you'd be like, Hinkler, here I come. Brisbane shopping spree, here I come. Wouldn't you? So as a human being, we relate to tangible material stuff. We're living in the world, you know, but if I say to someone out there, come and pray, and then that person comes and prays and because they've touched on something, it gets worse. And I think, oh, I don't want to pray. Look what's happening in my world. And then we as a Christian say, that's good. That's good. It means something's shifting. Something's moving. Press on. Keep going. Don't give up. A lot of the time, the human, in the humanistic, materialistic world, they give up on that stuff. They want to go have fun. Like I just said before, you know, they'd rather go out having fun than being home reading the Bible. They'd rather go out to the club than come to prayer at church. They just want to have fun. They don't want to shut the door and sit and pray. They don't want to do it. They want to enjoy their life and just go and do whatever. These are things, unfortunately, we relate to because the majority of our structure is from this realm. So we do relate to them. We can empathize with them because we're like, yeah, oh, look, I get what you mean, but, but within us, we've got one that is so connected, is so up there in the heavens, but we've got the other two that are here with us. And if we do a vote in the natural sense, who will win in the natural? You know, when we tell people, you know, when you pray, there are angels around us, that the Lord is interceding for us, because they can't see it, they switch off from it. But we must not be led by the flesh, not by the soul, but by the Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Now, to edify your spirit, you have to spend time with the Lord. Pray in tongues, read the word, worship God in all you do. Ask him, how am I going to get through this, Lord? How? What do I do? Speak to him about the little stuff, like I said. Fast. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're in a battle, beloved. We are. We are in a battle every day. But we must know that God knows that we're in the middle of a battle. He knows that. And that scripture of why do I do the things I know I shouldn't do and the things I shouldn't do, why do I do them? That just describes the struggle that we're in. But the end of the story to this struggle is that we are not to submit to this and we are to overcome it. We are to get free from this terrible war with the power of Jesus and who he is. He loves you. He died for you. You know, the worst thing that can happen to you on this earth is death, isn't it? Really, that is the worst thing that can happen to a human being. But Paul says, what does he say? And I love this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if that is the worst thing that can happen to us while we're here, let's walk in freedom. Why should you be held in chains any longer to those things? Why? You know, those thoughts, those worries, those cares, those concerns, why should you? You have the Lord who is interceding for you, beloved. He is interceding for you day and night. In his throne room, he's saying, Lord God, Kathy needs you today. Kathy needs you right now. He's interceding. We always pick on you, don't we, Kathy? You're in the hot seat. Now, if you've been super ashamed of your failings, please know that you can break free from this. We are all human. If we were all absolutely perfect, 100%, we wouldn't need a savior. We would not need Jesus. We need him. We need you, Lord. You need to go to him with those things and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean in your blood. Cleanse me, Lord God. I'm sorry for ABC. I'm sorry for doing that to you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Come to peace with your past mistakes and move forward, okay? Time to let that stuff go. Move forward. Today can be a brand new day. I love the scripture where it says his mercies are new every morning. Every morning you have a chance to go, new day, Lord, with you. New day. Don't get in stuck in shame, because then you're going to feel terrible and the cycle will just continue over and over again. You know what I'm talking about. God wants to set you free from this cycle of wanting to do the right thing but doing the wrong thing. Connecting with God is your only way out of this. And it's a daily choose to choose life. Jesus said, you know what? You have the choice. You can choose life or death. Choose life. We need to take it hour by hour, minute by minute, before we get our flesh and our soul to submit. But once you've exercised this and you've been consistent, you know, that's another key is consistency. Keep doing it. Keep walking. The process of the refining and the sacrifice will get much easier. We all struggle with consistency. A lot of us, we struggle with just keep doing it, keep doing it. And we take this as weakness. And we can start to doubt our salvation due to the habitual cycles of sin. But remember, beloved, you're in a process. You're in a God's refining you. And he's going to bring those things to your attention and say, when you did this last time, did it work for you? When you did it that time, did it work for you? No. Come to me. Come to me. And I love how Tim brought this up within worship, because during the week I was saying to my mum out on the patio as I was praying for you all, and I'm saying, Lord God, use me. You need to speak through me. Let it not be me, God. Holy Spirit, you need to speak through me. And I was sharing with my mum what I'm sharing with you now. And she said, Danielle, it's like Peter when he walked on the water. You know, that happened at 3 a.m., by the way. At 3 a.m., out there on the sea, in the boat, freaking out. I know I would have been freaking out. And then Jesus comes walking on the water and they're all thinking it's a ghost, like, ah. And then he says, Peter, you know what he says? One word, come, come. Now, in that moment, what was Jesus led by? His soul, his feelings, his spirit. He wasn't led by his body, his flesh, but a human being like you and me walked on water. It's just like I'm walking on blue water now. This is blue carpet. How cool is that? Jesus said, come. And he said, okay, Lord, I'm coming. And the moment he took his eyes off the spirit and what the Lord was calling him to do, what happened to him? He sunk. The good news of this is, though, did Jesus say, all right, you're gone now, Peter. See ya. You didn't keep your eyes on me. You know, you got scared. No, he lifted him up. He lifted him up out of the boat, out of the water, into the boat. He rescued him. And that's what he did for each and every one of you. He continues to rescue you. And, you know, this happened to Peter before he denied Christ. So Peter didn't just make one mistake, beloved. He didn't. How many mistakes did Peter make? We're exactly the same. Even those of us that get up here and have the honor of speaking to you, we deal with stuff too. Daily I deal with stuff. And I have to say to the Lord every day, help me with that, God. I release that thing to you that's hurting me. Oh, forgiveness is a huge thing for people that have hurt me in the past. I'm getting much better at it, though, because you know what? I pray blessing on those that hurt me. Bless my enemies, Lord. Bless them and call them into your throne room, Jesus. I pray for them. And when you pray for those that have hurt you, believe me, in time, the anger kind of dissipates, because it's like, I'm praying for this person. The love starts welling up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know how much he loves you guys? This whole week, and I'm talking during the day, during the night, whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking about, Lord, I know you want to touch your people. Like you want to speak to them on Sunday. And I can't believe you're using me. But anyway, I know you want to speak to them. I know you want to meet with them. It's like he's saying, I'm so proud of them because they're here. They're here. You could be out there mowing your lawn right now. It's a beautiful day. You could be out there shopping, but you're here. And God sees you. God, Jesus knows you're here for him right now. Believe me. You know, back in the year 2000 when I had that amazing experience, okay, I'm going to take you back to that. I started getting very confident in the fact of what I was doing, okay? So it started off good. It started off saying, humbly, Lord, I surrender. Humbly, Lord God, I'm fasting and I'm praying. And then it became, after a period of time, a little bit of arrogance in me, a bit of pride of, Lord, you know what, I'm doing this. And then in walked in the church a man of God, big inverted commas, who led me astray. He was like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And because I had it all together, more inverted commas, because things were going so good for me, I fell into temptation again. And I lost that freedom again. So that anxiety came back. The depression, not to the extent of pre-Christianity, but the depression crept in a bit. And an eating disorder started again. And the cycle of hating myself started again. And you know why? Because I got my eyes off him. So I had to go around the mountain again. And it's not fun, beloved. It's not fun. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and I'm nearly finished. Keep your eyes on him. And remember this truth from Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Keep your eyes on him. Seek him in all you do. In all you do. Inquire of him in all your decisions. Have that relationship with him whereby you share everything with him. Put him in the center of everything you do. In your home, in your job, in your family, your finances. And speak to him like a best friend. You know, when you wake up in the morning, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. What are we going to do today? Help me, Lord. Who do you want me to speak to? What should I have for breakfast? What a beautiful day. At the end of your day, Lord, good night. Thank you for tonight. Thank you that you never sleep. You never slumber, Lord. Thank you that you send your angels from your mighty throne room, Lord, to protect me, Lord, tonight as I sleep. Send me dreams from your throne room tonight, Lord. That's what Monique prays every night. Every night at communion, she said, Lord, she says, send me dreams from your throne room. Because when she used to say the heavenlies, she used to get a few bad dreams as well, because the demonic realm are in the heavenlies, a spiritual realm, so to speak. But they're not going to go to the throne room. Believe me. Send me dreams from your throne room, Lord. Lord Jesus, you love your beloved right here today. You love them and you want them free. I pray for them this morning, Lord. I pray for your beautiful children that are right in front of me right now, Lord. What an honor for me to speak to your children, your kids. You sent Jesus to die for them, Lord. They are so precious to you. And they have a future in you that they cannot even fathom right now, Lord. But they will look back on this day and they will say, yes, I remember hearing this. So right now, if you need prayer for anything that has kept you captive for a long time, something within your soul, something within you that just, every time you try and tackle it, it just doesn't go away. I'm here to tell you, you will get freedom from that thing. Kathy, if you could come. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega, Lord. You know the beginning from the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let this life count for you, Jesus. I ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that whatever your beautiful, beloved children are dealing with right now, God, whatever it is in them, press on it, Holy Spirit. Breathe on it. Breathe on it now. Breathe on it. Let them know that that thing, that thorn in their side will be removed. Let them know right now. Lift it off them, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, from this moment on, Lord, that you will give them the strategies that only you can give, the strategies that will completely set them free. And I pray that as they walk it out, as they do the work, Lord, that you would help them in it, Lord. Help them, Jesus. We want to live lives, Lord God, that bring you glory. We want your freedom, Lord, that you died to give us. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name, for every beautiful person here today, God, and they're all so precious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.